Your Locked On Maple Leafs. Your daily podcast on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Leafs podcast, one-stop shop for all things Leafs. I'm your host, Mike DiStefano from TSN 1050 Toronto Radio, also known as Al's brother from TSN's Overdrive. Hit me up on Twitter at Mickey_Canuck. Follow the show as well at Locked On Leafs. If you like what you hear today, please consider subscribing to the podcast. Leave a rating and review as well. That'd be much, much appreciated. And make sure that you are listening or that you are downloading the podcast each and every day. You can find them wherever you get your podcasts. All right, bit of a mixed bag type of show on this Monday edition of Locked On Leafs. First and foremost, I'll be giving a quick analysis on Saturday night's 3-1 victory over the Islanders, getting back into the win column. That was nice to see. Then I'll play some audio. I had a chat with Gil Martin from the Locked On NHL show, the national show. He's the Monday host. I host it on Tuesdays with Tyler Kuehl, if you guys did not know that, if you're new to the podcast. Locked On NHL is the national show that covers all of the angles from the entire league on that one podcast, and we have different hosts for each day, and Gil had me to chat about Leafs on the Monday show, and then on Tuesday, I'll be with Tyler, and then we do an Eastern Conference, kind of a deep dive into the Eastern Conference. Wednesday is a deep dive into the Western Conference, and then Thursday is a little bit of a, what's going on right now type of show, and Friday kind of tease up what's going on into the weekend, with Monday show being more of a wrap-up of the weekend that we just saw. So that's kind of how the Locked On NHL national show goes, if you guys weren't aware that is a thing. It does exist, and it's another one of the podcasts that I do weekly, and it's a lot of fun, so I would recommend you go and head over to Locked On NHL and listen to that as well. Gonna play my chat with Gil about the Leafs, this overall state of the Maple Leafs, so we'll do that, and then I promise you guys some co-sign, no-sign. Dave and I did it a couple of days ago after the Ranger game, but the podcast was like 45, 50 minutes long, so I cut out the cosine, no sign, and I'm going to play for you guys today, so that wasn't like an hour-long episode, but still very much evidence, it's still timely, newsly, it's kind of some evergreen topics as well, so we'll bring you that stuff, and that's what today's show will be all about. But let's get back into Saturday night, where the Maple Leafs defeated the Islanders by a score of 3-1. And 3-1, I tweeted it out right when, they ended up scoring to make it 3-1. I was like, uh-oh, 3-1, here we go again. For the last five games, the Maple Leafs have squandered those 3-1 leads. Not on Saturday, they were able to hold on to this lead. They gave a great, a valiant effort in the second period. They really controlled play, played well in the third as well. It wasn't like a complete domination, but they did good enough. And Peter Mrazek picks up the victory in what I believe to be his best game as a Toronto Maple Leaf. And it was really good. He ended up having, 27 stops on 28 shots, and made a really key save in the third period, too, to try and hold that lead, because that goal goes in, it becomes 3-2 about midway through the third. Now it's a bit of a different ball game. This team is a little fragile right now, I guess you could say, and if they would have given up another goal, make it 3-2, it would have put the Islanders fans, and that's a ruckus building, would have put them really on edge, and they would have been hooting and hollering and screaming, and who knows what could have happened. But Peter Mrazek locked it down in the third period, didn't allow them to get anything past them, and they wind up holding on for the victory, an important 2 points as we keep chugging along here towards the playoffs, as the Atlantic Division suddenly is looking like an absolute buzzsaw. It has been since the beginning of the year with Florida, but now you got Boston coming in. They are red, red hot. Winners of, six of the last seven, maybe. We got Tuukka Rask back. And they're really, really playing a solid, solid brand of hockey. And they're right on the heels of the Maple Leafs. So, Toronto got to keep winning, collecting the 2 points so that they can stay on pace and not risk a wild card spot and try and still win the division, which clearly is going to be the objective. It's been said, since day one, the objective of the regular season is to win the division and have home ice throughout the first and second round of the playoffs, and hopefully not have to play Florida the state of Florida, both the Panthers and Lightning in round one. So big 2 points, picking them up by the Islanders. And, you know, New York's a physical team. So the fact that they were able to deal with that, handle that a lot better against New York, coming off of a poor, soft, as they Sheldon Keefe called it, performance against the Rangers, it was a good bounce back. It was good to see. You had guys like Marner really digging for pucks. Bunting was getting physical a little bit. He was getting in there. He typically always does. But, you know, even the defensemen were a little bit more engaged in front of the net and kind of protected the net and didn't allow much from New York. And they didn't shy away from contact as much as we saw either, which was a big issue. The forecheck being the massive problem with the Rangers wasn't as big a problem here. And I thought that depth defenseman actually stepped up and played well. I thought they played decent. Liljegren, I thought, had a much better game. Sandin did as well. Dermott was okay, I guess, along with Dahlstrom. I didn't notice them as much, which I guess is a good thing. But ultimately, much better performance all around from the entire team Saturday night. Third star I gave to Peter Mrazek. Got to give him some love. Gets a victory here for the Maple Leafs. And I think we'll see Mrazek a little bit more often down the stretch. That's what it sounds like based on, you know, what we're hearing coming out of the Leafs camp, the type of words being chosen when talking about these two goaltenders from Sheldon Keefe. It sounds like it's not going to be a true tandem, but it's going to go. We're not going to see Campbell get a stretch of like 9-10 games again. And this obviously hinders on health factor of Peter Mrazek, which hasn't really been strong to start the season. That said, good game. Made a key stop in the third period, kind of hold the lead. Didn't allow the game to get away. So Peter Mrazek, good on you. You get my third star. My second star I'm giving to Mitch Marner. I thought that he was fantastic. The best forward for the Maple Leafs in that game. He's really been the best player since coming back from his COVID absence, where he missed a couple of games. Had a shorthanded goal, which was a really nice play. I don't know if you guys heard, but post-game, supposedly Mitch Marner meant to do a Kucherov-esque ghost play where it went like he was trying to pull it to his backhand, but then just kind of skipped over it, and it slid through the five hole of Varlamov and into the back of the net. Apparently, he meant to do that. We all thought that he just kind of skipped it, and it was a bit of a lucky one. He said post-game, oh, yeah, totally meant to do that. That was part of the play. And look, who am I to argue? Mitch Marner is a very intelligent, high IQ, skilled player. If that's what he meant to do, I mean, he can do it. It's not what any of us were thinking he was going to do. It's not what Varlamov thought he was going to do, but maybe that's why it worked, and that's why it was such a genius play, and that's why it ended up in the back of the net. So, but that, you know, played over 21 minutes, was just fantastic, you know, and I thought that top line had a lot of really good chances as well. But my first star of the game, I got to give it to my guy, Morgan Rielly. I thought Morgan Rielly, Mo, was just fantastic, and he has been for quite some time, but on both ends of the ice, I thought he was great. Like, defensively, really stepping up in the absence of Muzzin, taking on a lot of those hard minutes. Just 22% ozone starts, so he was starting in the defensive end a lot, kind of became someone that Sheldon Keefe was leaning on to be that defensive rock for the Maple Leafs. So, you know, Morgan Rielly ended up with a goal as well. Really nice goal, actually. William Nylander made a great, great play. Kind of a heads up, just kind of turn around, fired the puck out, no look kind of pass. Got it over to Morgan Rielly, who made no mistake about it. Fires it into the back of the net for his fifth of the year. Assisted also on the Marner goal that was on shorthanded. So I thought Morgan Rielly was just a unit out there, and he's been playing some excellent, excellent hockey as of late. So first star to Morgan Rielly, and that is very, very well deserved if you ask me. If I can give a bonus star, I guess, like a four-star bonus star, I'm going to get to Pierre Engvall, because he doesn't get enough love, I think, from Leafs Nation. I actually am one of the few, I guess, Pierre Engvall fans, but I thought that he's played really well as of late. I think he's a good skater. He can break the puck out, and, you know, he's decent on the forecheck. He's not a banger. He's not going to come in and bang a box body like you would want a 6'4", 215-pound guy to do. But he pressures guys. He forced a turnover in the game against the Rangers. He had a really good play that he made to score the third goal for Toronto at the buzzer beater. Third goal? I don't know why I can't remember which one it was. But it was the buzzer beater, quite like with 0.3 seconds left. It was the go-ahead game winner, actually, is what it turned out to be at the end of the first period. So it was the go-ahead game winner at the end of the first period. So I just wanted to give him a shout-out for that because he's played really well but isn't getting enough credit for being a legitimate NHLer, and that's what he is. Is he a top six guy? No, I think he's a bottom six guy who can, who has speed. He's got a little bit of poise with the puck when he has it, and when he's on, he's an effective player. I think that he works out well, whether he's on the third or the fourth line. Pierre Engvall, I think, has kind of progressed, and he's turned his game around, and I think he's now an everyday guy for this team. All right, up next, Gil Martin had me on the Locked On NHL podcast to chat about the Leafs, so I'll play that conversation for you guys. Then I'll play some Cosign No Sign with Dave Morosuti in the final segment. But before we get there, let me tell you about one of today's show sponsors. It's the New Year, so that means New Year's resolutions. If yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure you include Built Bar into your plan. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar, maybe even a little better than a candy bar. Built Bar makes it easier to stick to your resolution. It just tastes so good, you'll want to eat it. Unlike other protein bars, it could be chalky or waxy or taste like chemical spill. You'll want to eat this. You want to stay healthy, but sometimes it's just a little boring. By like week three, you might be thinking, this is just not worth it. Where's the chocolate? Let me tell you this, Built Bars covered in 100% real chocolate. Most Built Bars containing just 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. And compare that to a candy bar, which usually has around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. Here's an idea for the new year. Go to all your secret treat stashes at home, in the pantry, at the office, in the car, wherever. Throw out all the sugary and calorie-filled treats and replace them with Built Bars. So when you're craving a snack or a treat, you can reach for something that's healthy and tastes incredible. Even if you're not a huge fan of working out, you can at least eat something that tastes good and is good for you. That way, when you enjoy a delicious Built Bar, you can almost count it as a workout. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com.
And welcome back to the Locked On NHL podcast. Gil Martin with you as I am every Monday. And thank you for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Right now, it's my pleasure to welcome in Mike DiStefano of Locked On Leafs to talk a little Maple Leafs hockey. Mike, how you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing today?
Doing well. And I think you have to be happy with your team's victory over my New York Islanders on Saturday evening. A nice performance. And
Saturday was a good day, right? Saturday was a good day for myself because not only, did the Maple Leafs get the victory, but then also so did the Bengals, who I was backing in the NFL playoffs, as did the Niners, who I was backing in the NFL playoffs. Sunday, bit of a different situation for myself. I was on Tampa Bay and Brady. They go ahead and they lose the game. And then the Buffalo Bills, I thought they had it. What a game that was. I can only hope that we can expect to see that much excitement in the playoffs this year for hockey, because that may have been one of the greatest sporting events that I have ever witnessed in my life, the Bills-Chiefs game that we just saw last night.
Definitely an outstanding game, and took your breath away, the lead changing hands so many times in the last 4 or 5 minutes of that game. And then in
the last overtime. 2 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, 13 seconds left and Mahomes gets the tying field goal. So, yeah, unbelievable performance right there by both the Chiefs and the Bills, quite honestly. So, an all-time great game. As for the Leafs, your biggest takeaway from Saturday's game?
Yeah, I thought that the Leafs played a lot better. From a Toronto perspective, they needed to have a good response to the game against the Rangers. They got called out by their coach Sheldon Keefe for being soft, and they kind of were. Now the Rangers are a strong, heavy team. Guys like Ryan Reeves, Kevin Rooney, like they've got some heavier, bulkier dudes out there who can throw their weight around. And the Maple Leafs were fairly shorthanded. Jake Muzzin, probably their most aggressive player, their biggest, strongest player. Like he was out. Justin Hall, another guy who was out that game. So they had to kind of push up a couple of young defensemen into the second pair role, and they kind of cratered under that pressure. I felt that they actually responded and played a lot better in the game against the Islanders. The whole team, it was just a massive response. The biggest question mark going into it was, okay, if they establish a lead, can they hold on to it? Because for the previous five games, Toronto had squandered a two-goal lead. So they were up 3-1 in four of the last five games and squandered it and either went into overtime or lost that game. So when they went up 3-1 against the Islanders here, Leaf fans were kind of squirming and they're like, oh no, here we go again. 3-1. Awesome. But no, the Maple Leafs, I think they learned from their mistakes over the last couple of games, I guess you could say. There's a little bit more effort, a little bit more heart in the third period. They locked it down. Peter Mrazek, I felt, had a pretty good game himself. Definitely his best game as a Maple Leaf, I would say. And were able to come away with the 2 points and kind of give themselves a little bit more confidence going forward after a tough road trip. It was a good way for them to end that road trip, I'll say that.
John Tavares, still not very popular with Islander fans. Your thoughts about them booing him when he touches the puck and their reaction to him?
Look, I got it the first year, maybe even the second year, maybe the first outing, like earlier in the season when they were there in, what was it, the second game at the new arena. But right. At this point, like, when are you going to get over it? Like, when are the Islanders fans going to get over it? I get it. He left, and all power to you. Boo him. He deserved to be booed a little bit, I suppose, when he first got back. But we're now, this is what, 3-4 years now? Like, at some point, you just got to move on. And the Islanders have had far more success without him than the Maple Leafs have. So, I mean, it's not like you left them and, the team went into the gutter. They got better. What are they booing for? They should be thanking him for allowing them to go out, not have to spend $11 million against their cap, and try and beef up the team around them to allow them to get through to the second in conference finals a couple of years ago. Stop it, Islanders fans. Be thankful that Johnny T left you and didn't stick y'all with the $11 million cap hit.
Let's talk a little bit about goaltending. I mean, you mentioned Peter Mrazek, but Jack Campbell has been outstanding for the Maple Leafs this year. What has his play this year meant for the team?
Oh, it's been everything. It's slipped a little bit of late, like with the these blown leads. He's part of the equation there, obviously. But the first 2 months of the season, he was arguably the best goalie in the league. And when you've got good goaltending, that's going to go a long way. Any team, it was funny. I was chatting with Jamie McLennan of TSN's Overdrive, former NHL goaltender. And he said that, the NHL should be called a goalie, because essentially if your goalie's in one and your goalie's on one that night, there's a good chance you'll win it. And Jack Campbell, the first couple of months of the season, he was spectacular. He was winning games left, right, and center. Plays slipped off a little bit of late, but I think Leafs Nation hoping that this is just a funk due to the fact that he's never played this much hockey ever in his NHL career. So hopefully, he got the night off against the Islanders on Saturday. Peter Mrazek got to come in, played well in his absence while he sat on the bench and kind of collected his thoughts after a poor game against the Rangers. And now hopefully up next, they're taking on, Anaheim on Wednesday. The assumption is Jack Campbell will get the net, go mano a mano against fellow countryman John Gibson on the other side, and hopefully he'll have himself quite the outing and get back to that Vezina caliber player that he was earlier in the season.
The Maple Leafs in the thick of the competition for, first place, for a good playoff spot, but Boston not far behind them also. So kind of, in the middle of it. What do you think this team needs to do at the trade deadline, which is now, it's getting closer and closer as we head through this part of the season?
Yeah, I mean, you're a New York guy, so I know that you probably are also following what's happening with the Rangers. And, you know, the Maple Leafs were exposed in that game for having a bit of a thin blue line. Both Muzzin and Hall were out. And those guys bring a different intangibles to the game that the Leafs just don't have depth in. And I think that's what they need to add. They need to add, first and foremost, a someone to play with Jake Muzzin as a shutdown defenseman, a top four shutdown guy who can comfortably play on the right side. And if they can even go out and get another kind of third pair, rugged type of defenseman, that would also help. They just need to build depth, and they need to get themselves some guy who don't mind throwing their weight around, blocking shots, playing, you know, a heavy style of hockey, making it difficult to play in front of the net. You want to go and park yourself in front of the net, Ryan Reeves? Well, we're going to have a guy who's 6'3", 220 pounds, cross-checking you in the back. You might not want to go there as much anymore. And I could say the same to the guys over in Tampa, you know, Kucherov in the playoffs. You want to go to the net, or, you know, talk about Braden Point. You want to go to the net, Cirelli, you're going to take a couple of hacks and whacks from these bigger dudes. Because right now there's a little bit too much smallness in guys like Sandin, guys like Dermott. They're getting bullied a little bit. Not to say that, you know, they need to go out and get those guys, those mutant type players. But for sure, I think depth on the blue line and a top four defenseman specifically to come up and play with Jake Muzzin. Because Justin Hall, it hasn't quite been the player that he was last season. That pairing, you know, Muzzin hasn't been either. That pairing has not been great. Certainly nowhere near what was expected of them. So I think if they can get another kind of defenseman to come in, Scott Mayfield is a name that I've been tossing around a little bit in my head. And I'm curious if you could kind of, you know, talk about if the Islanders might be interested in selling off some pieces as they're kind of not really in the playoff hunt at this point in the season. And if Mayfield, you think, is a guy who might be available.
I'm not sure if the Islanders fall off, you know, if they're not able to put a win streak together and get back into the playoff hunt by the time the trade deadline comes, they will probably look to sell some players. But I'm not so sure Mayfield would be at the top of that list. I think that Toronto would have to sort of bowl Lou Lamoriello over a little bit in order to make Mayfield available because of his size and because of his experience, and that the Islanders don't have a lot of blue liners behind them. I mean, you know, they've already lost Nick Leddy in the last year. It would be difficult for them to trade him off unless they get some kind of defenseman in return. But again, bowl over Lou Lamoriello if the Islanders are out of contention, and anything is possible. Wanted to ask you also, you know, everyone talks about Austin Matthews and Nylander and Tavares and Morgan Riley. Couple of veterans who give this team some depth, Jason Spezza, Wayne Simmonds. What do they add to this team at this stage in their careers?
Lately it hasn't been a whole lot, to be honest with you. They have not played well as of late, but, you know, typically those are guys who, you know, I think on the bench, in the locker room, like those are the type of intangibles that they bring. And they hold their own to a certain extent. It really depends on who that third guy is with them. In the past, when Pierre Engvall's with them and it's a guy who's got a little bit of speed, you know, involved in his game, usually that line does okay. But when it's been like Nick Ritchie or Kyle Clifford and it's three kind of slow, oldish dudes, that they typically don't play well, especially in their own zone. So, but what I think they still bring is depth first and foremost, and just like the veteran leadership, I think off the ice as well. And on the bench, it was Wayne Simmonds who kind of turned the Maple Leafs season around, who ripped into this team back in October. It was a game against the Chicago Blackhawks. After the first intermission, he just completely ripped into this team. And since then they ended up going on like a 20-4 run. After starting the season off like below 500, and they were about a week away from selling off, and Keith was getting fired, Dubas was on the hot seat, but it was that the veteranness of you know, Jason Spezza and of Wayne Simmonds to kind of turn that thing around. I don't think these guys, you're going to expect for them to contribute a whole lot offensively, but what they can do is they can kind of get the mindset right for these young guys and these young stars in Nylander, Matthews, Marner, et cetera.
Mike, why don't you tell our listeners and our viewers where they could find the podcast and where they could find you on social media?
Yeah, you can find the podcast wherever you get your podcast from, Locked On Leafs, and find the Locked On Leafs on Twitter as well. That is at Locked On Leafs. You can follow my personal Twitter as well, at Mickey_Canuck.
All right, Mike, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue to march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to get started. From football to basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. Bet online, it's where the game starts. All right, welcome back into Locked On Leafs. Obviously, Toronto falling 6-3 to the New York Rangers last night. Not a very, very good outing for a number of people. Jack Campbell, one of them. The defense, pretty much all of them. Certainly the second and third pair, the young guys. But let's play some cosine, no sign, kind of put that game to bed a little bit. Maybe it'll get brought up throughout the game we're about to play here. But, you know, we'll put that one to bed and let's play some cosine, no sign. So the way that this works, if you're new to the podcast, you're unfamiliar with the segment, I'm going to make a statement and Dave is going to either cosign it if he agrees or no sign it if he disagrees. And he's going to do the same thing to me and I'll answer him and we'll both explain our reasoning for why. So, Dave, I will allow you to go first since you are the guest.
All right. I'll go with an easy one here. Does Austin Matthews finish? I think Austin Matthews won the Rocket Richard this year.
Oh, cosine. Absolutely. I think this guy's on a mission to do that. I think he definitely wins the Rocket. I'll be curious to see how many he scores though. Like I think at this point it's not if he's going to win the Rocket, it's by how much. You know what I mean? Like he scored 18 goals his last 16 games, including tonight. Like that's insane. It was 18 and 15 before tonight, but you know, whatever. But like it's a guy who scores in bunches, but it seems like this season it's coming so effortlessly. His goals. Yeah. Doesn't it seem that way?
It does. I think he's finding the easier areas that he can take advantage and score those goals. And they're coming in different ways too. Like he's not, it's not just with the pad and wrister. He's, you know, finding himself on, you know, on the power play with the one timer, or he's doing it in so many different ways. That's, you know, so tough to defend.
Yeah. He's scoring in tight. He's scoring on the power play, scoring at 5-on-5. He's kind of just doing a little bit of everything, and he's being more consistent with that. Clearly, he just scored in 10 straight road games, which is still a mind-blowing stat to me, despite not, you know, getting the record tonight. But yeah, I'm going to co-sign that one. I think he absolutely is going to do it, and you can place a wager over at betonline.ag. I think I saw it was at, I think it was +240, I want to say, maybe +260 last I saw, for Austin Matthews to win the Rocket. And he's just what, two back right now, Leon Draisaitl and Ovechkin. So I think he could certainly, he caught up quick. I think he'll surpass him in the next couple of weeks here.
I'll say this. I got him at +400. I can't remember when I placed that bet. It was somewhere before the season. So
before the season, really?
Yeah.
Wow. I would have been curious to see what the number was at. I definitely checked at the time, but I can't remember. But I want to say it was around like +400 or something like that, maybe +400, +500, +600. When he was in his funk. Remember when he wasn't scoring at one point early in the season when he first got back?
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Yeah, where he had 6 and Leon had like 19 or 18. Yeah, it's much different story the last month or two of the season. All right. Cosign, no sign, Dave. Justin Hull will be a Maple Leaf on opening night next season. Cosign, no sign.
I'm going to no sign this one.
Mm.
I think the fact that his name was out there says something because, you know what, like, I think the Leafs realize that there needs to be something different here. And I know, I like, look, Kyle Dubas went to bat for this guy. He said all the right things when he talked about not exposing him the expansion draft. But no, I think that, you know, he has term on his deal. He's a guy that some teams will actually find attractive in a trade and in the right situation. So yeah, you know, and they might have to penny pinch a bit here. And he's an obvious one that you can move out if you need to move him. And I think there's a good chance he is not with the blue and white next year.
It became a little less obvious to me tonight, though, didn't it? Like, you kind of realize that Justin Hall not being in the lineup, well, I think it's more so Jake Muzzin, but, you know, when you had to go to the well with Alex Biega as your third, you know, your sixth defenseman, it looked bleak, you know what I mean? So, I'm kind of on the fence here, but I think it depends if they end up bringing in another defenseman, because if they do bring in a D-man at the deadline, I think Justin Hall could be part of the package just to kind of make the salaries offset. And he's somebody who could play, you know, in somebody's bottom two pair. And he's under contract next season as well. So I think I'm going to agree. I think probably go no sign as well, mainly because I think that he could be part of the package to land someone at the deadline. All right, what's your second one for me?
Well, my second one was actually in a similar bound, but Peter Mrazek makes it past his first year as a Maple Leaf.
No sign. This one more than Hall. Like Hall, I'm somewhat 50-50 on. I think there is a 1% chance that Peter Mrazek is still with the Maple Leafs come next season. 1%. Yeah, up from half a percent that I had, you know, 3 weeks ago. But the recent play of Jack Campbell, now it's like, okay, well, there's a 1% chance. You're saying there's a chance. But ultimately, you know, Peter Mrazek, he hasn't really panned out either in the few games that he's played here for the Maple Leafs. He hasn't really been able to stay healthy either. So for me, for the next three seasons at $3.8 million, just can't stomach it, can't justify it, especially if you plan on giving Jack Campbell an extension. There's absolutely no way that both of those goaltenders are here next season. So, and my estimation is it'll be Jack over Peter come next year, despite the recent slide that Campbell's hit. But so I'm going to no sign that. And I don't think Mrazek's back next season either.
I think I pretty much agree with you on that one.
The Maple Leafs will in fact land a top four defenseman at the trade deadline.
This is a tough one. I'm going to sign this one because I think that's their most glaring weakness. And we know Kyle Dubas has made it a point to really hone in on those glaring weaknesses. Like, you look at what he's done in the last few years. He's not afraid to go out and try to add the pieces that this team needs. So there's not many of them out there, but I think he's understand that the time is now for this team, right? It's not
that's exactly it.
You can't keep trading first round picks, but at the same time, it's like those first round picks, you're gonna take the chance on trying to win this year. Eventually you're gonna have to stop with that. But I think also they'll consider maybe moving some prospect capital too to get it done.
Yeah, that's the nail on the head right there to me. The time is now. They are in win now mode, and their jobs are all on the line. Success this year is a must, and if they don't do it, then I don't know if Sheldon Keefe, Kyle Dubas are back next season. You know, like if this is another first round exit, there's a good chance that they're going to see new management coming into town. So, you know, you can't take the picks with you when you're fired, you know, so you might as well trade away the capital and try and best position this team for success. And to do that, I think they absolutely need to go out and acquire top four defensemen. All right, your third one, good sir.
So my third one is actually around Sheldon Keefe and whether or not if the Leafs miss out, or sorry, lose out in the playoffs so they don't go far, is he back with the Leafs next year? Do you think he's back with the Leafs? Or we'll say Sheldon Keefe is back with the Leafs if they don't go far in the playoffs.
What does far mean to you?
All right. How about if they have another, let's say they maybe make it to the second round, but fall out of the second round.
I think he's back if they make it to the second round. Well, because, like, let's face it, they're going to play one of those Florida teams who just flat out might be better. You know, and Sheldon Keefe, I think, is a decent coach. I think what we've learned is that he actually is an NHL caliber coach. I've liked what he's done with this club. Certainly getting a lot more out of him than Mike Babcock ever did. So I like him as a coach. I think he's doing good things. I think that he made the right decisions with the penalty, with the special teams, by bringing in Spencer Carberry, by luring Dean Chanel onto his staff from Carolina. I think he's made some good decisions here as a coach. I like the fact that he's so, you know, he wants this Marner and Matthews thing to stick. He's got his pairs. You know, it seems like he likes this defensive third line, which I also appreciate and like. So at the end of the day, he's a good coach. So if you don't have to move on from him, you don't. And if they do win a round and they get to play, let's say, Tampa or Florida in round two, and it's a good series, but let's say they lose in six games and it's rather tight. It's you know, competitive, but Tampa's just the better squad. Yeah, I think he comes back. I'll co-sign it.
Yeah, and I think this year, this will be a different first as like a Columbus and a Montreal. Like, if you just lose to a team that's better than you, it's really, and look, there's going to be pressure and there's going to be people saying, well, you expect the Leafs to be able to compete against those teams. Well,
right. Well, that's what made last year and the year before so frustrating. It's like, that was your chance to win. Like, you were the superior team. Like, why are you losing? Where now this season, there's a good chance they're going to have to play one of Tampa and Florida in the first round, and that's not going to be a cakewalk. And they could easily, you know, the expectation is to win a round no matter who they play. And if that means they get Tampa in the first round and they lose, sucks to suck. Probably should have won the couple of years prior to that so that you didn't have this pressure on you now. Like, it just doesn't matter. Like, a loss to Tampa in round one is the end of the world. A loss to Tampa in round two, somewhat justified. You know what I mean? Like, it's bizarre. That's how we think as a fan base. But I think that's pretty well going to be the situation.
Yeah, and we've seen how this team plays against the Tampa, like they've played the Tampa real tough. So that's where I'm thinking that, you know, they seem to rise to those occasions and they seem to play down to the opponents that they're supposed to beat. So that's where I have a little more faith that maybe they'll at least play better. And if they lose, it won't look as bad as it did with the other ones.
All right, my last one for you here, Dave, and then we'll wrap things up for the pod today. Actually, maybe I can loop. I have two here, but I'm trying to think if I can loop one. Okay, here's how I'm gonna say this. Michael Bunting has a better shot at earning hardware this season than Jack Campbell.
Ooh, that's interesting. I'm going to no sign this one just because if Campbell turns things around and puts himself back in the Vezina conversation, I think there's, you know, people will give him a little more benefit of the doubt because of what he did at the start. Bunting is just so tough because I just think that he's a good story and he's been great, a phenomenal pickup for the Leafs. I just think there's other guys that are going to be well ahead of him in any conversation that he's in, especially like if we're talking about the calendar, like those, they have, I just look at the Detroit Red Wings alone with Lucas Raymond and Maurice Seider. And it's just like, one of those guys is really up there. You look at the Ducks and you know what they got going on there with Zegras. I just can't, I think when you look at who's voting and where, and the caliber player that they vote for, Michael Bunting will fall down the list, but he's deserving of a lot of praise. Cause I mean, this guy, a lot of people were just like, Michael Bunting, like who?
Oh,
like,
yeah, absolutely. And now he's turned into a first line winger alongside Marner and Matthews. And if you look, he's been more productive than one Zachary Hyman has been in Edmonton.
I was about to say, you saved yourself about close to $5 million by bringing in Michael Bunting. Like, that's probably the one of the better pickups. Like, you know, Kyle Dubas has had some really good pickups between Campbell. I think Michael Bunting might be top three, maybe even right behind Campbell.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, Bunting's up there, Kasha, Kampf, like all three of these guys making, you know, less than $2 million a piece. All four of those guys making less than $2 million a piece. Like, that's the bargain hunting. That's why I don't quite understand the hatred towards Kyle Dubas and why we get so many fired Dubas, you know, chants out there. Because this guy's done a decent job at building the team, but eventually the team needs to kind of take the reins and follow through on what they're trying to build. Like, you know, the old saying, you can take a horse to water, but you can't force him to drink. That's how I feel like this team. I feel like they're built for success. They're probably a solid top four defenseman away from being like a true, you know, Stanley Cup contender, I feel. But I think Dubas knows that, and I think he does that. He's done that the last couple of seasons where he's gone out and he's made splashy plays and splashy trades at the deadline to bring in that help, to bring in a Jake Muzzin, to bring in a Nick Foligno. You know, so I feel like they're certainly going to be able to do that. I don't know how I got from there, from talking about Michael Bunting as a Calder Trophy candidate. Oh, just talking about how great of a value pick it was. That's how I got there. But just take a look. Michael Bunting currently tied for fourth in rookie scoring with Tanner Janot of the Nashville Predators. But he's got 24 points in 37 games, although I don't know if this has been updated for today, which he got another point. So he may be sole possession of fourth place as of now. And yeah, Lucas Raymond, 32 points so far on the year. Zegras, 29. And then Moritz Seider, the defenseman, 25 in 40 games. And a couple of nice players in behind him as well. So he may be in tough when it comes to the Calder Trophy. But, you know, Jack Campbell, if he doesn't turn it around, I don't know if he'll be sniffing much hardware himself either. And unlike we thought, as little as 3 weeks ago, where he was firmly the favorite to win the Vezina Trophy. And all of a sudden, after, you know, you return to play, you put up a 330 goals against and an 893 save percentage, you know, over this 2.5, almost 3 week span, people are going to start second guessing, casting their ballot for one Jack Campbell.
It's fair. Very fair.
All right, that's it, right? 3-3? We did 3-3?
3-3.
All right, that's going to do it for us today on the podcast. I'd like to thank you all for listening and supporting the show. You can subscribe to the Locked On Leafs podcast on all podcasts and platforms and receive daily Leafs content. Follow myself on Twitter at @Mick_Canuck. Follow the show at Locked On Leafs and follow Dave at @D_Morisuti. I'll be back with another episode tomorrow. Dave, where can they find you? Where can they find your work? You work on anything recently?
Not recently. Just been busy with some other projects, but you can follow my work at Sportsnet. Yeah, hopefully we'll have some stuff coming up soon. I mean, the trade deadline's coming up and we'll be rolling out some stuff. So yeah, keep an eye on that. But yeah, if you need to find any of my stuff, just head over to sportsnet.ca.
All right, so there you have it. Dave, as always, a pleasure to have you back on the show. We'll do it again real soon. Thanks for listening, folks. And like I said, I'll be back tomorrow with another episode. But until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On Leafs.